dot.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Something that's going to keep the batteries up the snuff for a long time? I don't think so.
Reminder.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Eric and then John in that order. What do you guys know about battery minder? KE2EJ, KTRIW?
I can start off with, I have a 250 kilowatt generator there, and this is a couple of, you know, car batteries started, and it had the equivalent of what they call the battery tender. It's basically, this particular device, the microprocessor, which actually does constant field measurements of the battery, and it charges and discharges it accordingly to keep it at a constant pace. And I think that value for these particular batteries is something like 97% of the total charge. You'll find that the smaller devices on the market that claim to be the battery tender that aren't true impedance measuring devices. And by the way, it's really only good for the lead acid class type of battery, because other types of batteries require different types of charge management. KTRIW.
Now, you said it measures the impedance of the battery. A real good car battery, I don't know the exact number, but the equivalent series resistance might be a few milliohms. This thing keeps track of that milliohms of equivalent series resistance, and it does what when that milliohms goes high or low? Over to you, Eric.
Well, if you want to break it down and track it mathematically and use the thermodynamics of the process because you brought temperature into it, you'll find that there is a specific resistance, the specific gravity of the electrolyte will change the temperature. And the resistance that it offers per square centimeter is a particular value that moves up and down based upon the number of free hydrogen ions in the liquid. The device that I have uses a couple of different methods of measuring. It actually injects a little note into it. I don't know exactly why it does that. I know that it does that because we were looking at it on a scope one day. And it also seems to relate the... there's a little high impedance load resistor and it measures the voltage across that and uses that to calculate what the battery is doing. And I assume as that value goes up, it adds a little more charge. As that value goes down, it discharges it a little bit. Because actually, in this device that I have, it's got a big load resistor that's actually a bunch of them that can be stepped in and out.
It's 2QAQ.
Yeah, let me go over to John first and then Glenn in the order. John, I'm pretty sure you have or have used battery minder-like devices. Tell me your experience and what you think they're doing and how expensive. Tell me anything about a battery minder. KC2WGB, K2IW.
Well, I didn't own one, but I used one on my marine batteries when I had them, and it did bring both of the batteries back to life, and they worked beautifully. They were old, and they were sulfated, and the battery minder did the job. I believe it was around $140, if I remember correctly, and that was about 2 years ago. But they are on the web, and I was on there last year looking at them, and I think they're worth the money, without a doubt.
Glenn, KC2QIQ, tell us what you know about battery minders.
Well, let me just go back to what the lead-acid battery and really what's going on. What happens basically is that each lead-acid battery, depending on its ampere class and size of the battery, has a voltage per unit of charge. So in other words, if you look at the open circuit charge voltage of a battery at a temperature, you can pretty much tell, and then just put a very, very light load on the battery right afterwards, and between the open circuit to the light load, you can actually tell how much capacity is in the battery when you drop it for a second. So by knowing the temperature and knowing the hysteresis between the open circuit voltage of the battery and the light step loading impedance of the battery, you can determine where the battery is in state of charge, then measure the temperature and decide whether you want to put a little bit of top-off current into it, and then watch where the voltage charges up up to and then terminate the charge. So basically, it's just always kind of tickling the battery with a little bit of charge and a little bit of discharge and monitoring the hysteresis window. Case 2, QIQ.
Question.
UPS has a comment.
We've got to pick up question first and then UPS in that order. I'm going to guess question might be Steve. Go ahead, if it's not you.
Case 2 IXP. No, it's John. The question is, when the gentleman was giving the website before, he timed out and we didn't get the whole website for finding these devices. I would like to know where Mr. Beck got his, and, you know, if it's on a website or if it's in a store.
Now, are you talking about this vest pocket battery that can start charge cars, that can start car motors, or are you talking about battery minder? Which are you talking about, John?
The battery minder or the battery tender or whatever it's called.
Okay, I don't think anybody's giving out that website tonight, but who knows that website, a battery minder or battery tender?
Battery tender, I believe the website is www.batterytender.com. It's a place in Florida that sells these devices, $49.95. I don't know if they'll resurrect an old sulfated battery, but if you put a new battery on, they'll certainly keep them in good shape, keep them tip-topped up for you.
Okay, there's no beep at this hour. Who's the other person that wanted to ask or say something?
K2UPS had a comment.
Good old Rich. K2UPS, what state are you in? The state of happiness. Where are you tonight, Rich? And tell us or ask us anything you like. K2 Uncle Papa Sierra, mobile, K2 RIW in the tech net.
That's for your information. I turned the timer off, so it'll keep going.
Thank you. Go ahead there, Rich.
Okay, Dick, good evening. I'm KTPS Mobile in Pennsylvania, near Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I remember a couple of years ago when we were discussing all the generators and that stuff, there was a station from Canada came on and mentioned a product called Optimate, OPTIMATE, and it was made by a company called TechMate. But the product is Optimate, and they make some Optimate 1 up through, I think, about an optimum Optimate 7 or 8 different models, from very small little batteries to handling batteries up to 250 or 400 amp hours capacity. And they will desulfate batteries. Some of them will work on 6 and 12 volt batteries. It's completely computer controlled. It is safe to leave the battery hooked up for, you know, months or years at a time. It's not going to damage it because it floats it when it gets it up to full, and then it stops charging completely and just lets the battery sit, and then it checks it like a half hour, an hour later, and sees what it needs. Some of these float charges that people are picking up, like from Harbor Freight for $20 or whatever, they're giving it a constant float, and you're eventually going to cook the battery, even though it's a little bit of current like that. But the Optimate products, if you look them up, they're not cheap. You can find them online. You can find them in some local motorcycle shops. But it's a really, really good product.
Very good, Durbridge. And I think you're tickling my memory. I believe that was VE3JIW, Jim, that was giving us that information. Does that sound right, Rich? K2UPS, K2RIW?
It could have been. I know it was definitely one of the Canadian stations. I don't remember the name of the call precisely, but that very well could have been the one, Dick.
Yeah, those guys in the so-called Canadian Horseshoe area, I think they call it. The Golden Horseshoe area, I think they call it. And so they had a lot of experience with these battery minder-like things. Okay, I've learned a lot about batteries.
comment?
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't hear anybody mention, but just kind of important to note with these are, no matter who you're buying these battery tenders or light type of circuit, two things to look into. One is always make sure it's sized for the kind of battery that you're using. I mean, unless you have one that does like an Optimate that covers everything from, you know, a small battery to a very large battery, a lot of these things, especially the cheaper ones, are only going to be made for like, you know, a very large battery where if you put a...
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
Yeah, we did listen, we did miss a fair amount of that. You might want to replace, you might want to repeat a little bit of that for us. Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah, you want to keep basically these battery tenders as close to the battery as possible for measuring temperature. You want the charge close to the battery, and so that it's measuring the temperature as close to the battery as you can. And the other thing is always make sure that whichever charger you're going to use is rated for the size battery, so that you're not going to be either cooking the battery or undercharging it. So it's really careful to read the directions carefully to make sure you're using the right size charger for the lead-acid battery that you're charging. Case 2 QID.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Okay, we've covered quite a few subjects tonight. That was TechNet number 1602, spaceport number 201. Be kind to each other. I'm going to pass it around to our group, and over to you, John, for any other comments. And it sounds like you were pretty happy with that reminder when you borrowed one or used one. KC2WGB, K2LAW.
KC2WGB. Oh, absolutely, Dick. It did a marvelous job. Those batteries were old. They were removed from an old boat, and I used the battery miner on it, and it did the job it said. So, but I think the price was around $140, somewhere in that area, and that was approximately 2 years ago. So I think it's a good thing to have if you're going to need batteries that you have to rely on. Well, another TechNet is done. So I want to thank everybody for participating, and keep the cards and letters coming in, and the questions, and everybody be kind to each other. Enjoy the hobby. Back to you, Dick. 73 Paul, 73 Dick.
And Paul, what do we got to look forward to this week? And by the way, if you see the Sunday issue of Newsday, this
repeater, timeout.
If you see the Sunday issue of Newsday, there's a nice article about what's going on at Brookhaven Laboratory in the research on superconductivity. The superconductivity comes about because of pairs of electrons, Cooper electrons they call them, and they have now carefully identified one of those two electrons of the pair, and that means they're closing in on the possibility of room temperature superconductivity. Nice article. Well, not complete as I'd like it to be, but something to look forward to. WS2N, for any other comments, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Oh, that sounds great, Dick. I will read that. And John, good night. And I think Joe's topic on batteries is very, very good. For now, I'll stick with my jumpers. I got a, you know, a diehard battery jumper. I drive, you know, I've got to throw them in the trunk of the car and keep that with me. And I've used that many times. I'm happy with that. It's only about $60. So, it's a lot bigger than this thing that you got to put in your pocket, but it's worth it. Heavy duty cables. Back to you, Dick, 73. We'll see you next week.
You know, I just thought of something. It sure would be nice if the intelligence of this battery minder function was built into the charging system of our automobiles. Wouldn't that be nice? So that the car battery never got sulfated and lasted longer. As the aftermarket product, if it doesn't already exist, somebody should invent one of those that can be installed. Bye-bye, you all. See you down the log. K2RIW, clear but listening.
KC2WGB. I don't know about you, Dick, but I have great difficulty in imagining a number 12 wiring.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
run that by again. What is it that you think that they can't do in an automobile? The automobile is a medium-sized battery. You would think a battery minder was possible. So what did you think is hard to imagine, John? Go ahead.
Oh, no, Dick. I was speaking about that car starting item that's for sale. I mean, think about it. You take a big engine like a 440 or something like that, to crank that boy over, you know, well over 100 amps, number 12 wire feeding it. Difficult for me to believe that they don't get warm, if not, telling me not.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that engine better start with about 5 seconds worth of cranking, otherwise you're going to burn up that piece of 10-gauge wire or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see one perform, so maybe I'll find somebody who has one and see what's going on with it. Good night, everybody, and have fun. KC2WGB clear.
Yeah, what we don't know about, John, is they've snuck a piece of superconducting wire in there.
Oh, maybe it only works at like 300 below zero.
That would explain it. Bye-bye, you all.
KC2EJ, you still there, all right? KC2UPS.
David. Good morning. Very interesting discussion. I'm just curious, where is this repeat?
The repeater you're listening to is located in New York City. It's the Whiskey 2 Victor Lima repeater. And it's just outside of New York City on the border of Queens County and Nassau County. It happens to be in a town called Glen Oaks on Long Island. Is that the information you're looking for? K2RIW, my name is Dick.
Not really. See, I guess it's coming over here down in Philadelphia on 443.100. I know this is Echolink, but I'm just wondering where this repeater that I'm listening to is located.
There may be somebody on IRLP that's connected to the 9126 reflector that's re-repeating this repeater out on UHF repeater locally.
Yeah, I'm just curious. This repeater was off the air for a while and seems to have came back, but I'm not sure if it changed locations or not. Okay, well, I'll just listen more and I'll find out. Thanks for getting back, gentlemen, and very interesting to you, so perhaps I'll pop in next week. 73 is top of the morning. This is KZ3AA, Philadelphia clear.
Repeater, time out.
Eric, are you still there? KE2EJ, KTUPS.
He's gone, Rich. WS2N. That was a good website you sent me on the James Webb Space Telescope. Thanks for that.
No problem, Paul. Whenever I see stuff like that, I try to send it along. So, good information tonight. A lot of stuff happening. 73K2UPS.
73, safe driving. Catch you next week. WS22.
tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Amateur radio repeater system.